Good to see everybody this morning. I hope you've had a good week this last week. It's been it's good to see everybody. We've had a rough week in some ways, and yet a very good week. It's good to see. I don't know how they got him, but Brad and Christy ended up with Colby's baby this morning, and so if you're really nice, they might let you look at him, but I'm not really sure. He's a keeper. If I'm not mistaken, he is about the size that Colton was when we first moved here. So if you can look at him and Colton side by side, you can see the progress that the Flat family will make through the years. But it's just really nice to be worshiping and hearing this little one cooing. I'm not talking about Colton. I'm talking about the grandson. So, good to have everybody this morning. I hope you've had a good week. We got to spend Monday with Rebecca for her birthday, her 22nd birthday, and enjoyed that. And then on Tuesday we went and visited with the folks at the Christian Chronicle about seeing what kind of advertising that they had, looking at this 30-day challenge, and it was kind of fun to visit with them because we talked with the editor there, and he brought the lady in that takes care of the advertising, very, very professional in what she does, and as she was asking us questions about what this 30-day challenge was, Bobby Ross, the editor, got more and more excited, and he finally interrupted, and he said, "I'll tell you what," he said, "I'd like to do an article on this." So he's gonna try and feature what we've been doing, and I'm really, really excited for that. We, I think, sent out or about to send out challenges to the 99th church that's going to be taking us up on this, and of course that's because y'all have been working so diligently to mail out the invitations for this. I want to say why I think this is so important. It's not important because we're doing it, although it's important for us to do some work for God as we can figure out the best we can to see what we can do. But the reason I think this is important is because we all need to be reading the Word of God. And once we've read the Word of God, we all need to be studying the Word of God as best we can. We've all got different schedules, and we've all got different backgrounds, and we've all got different ways that work best for us as we read and study the Bible. But the fact is that someday we'll all kneel before God on judgment, and we'll give an account for how we've lived. And the beauty is God has put within His Word how He wants us to live. And since we all have failed and fallen short of the glory of God, it's really nice to find within the pages of His Word how to come back and how to come back on His terms. And it's also really nice to find out within the pages of His Word how we can encourage others to do the same. And so I really like this opportunity to try and help others, to encourage others to read the Word of God in any way. I hope you're doing that yourself. It does not have to be in the way that we're suggesting on this at all. And so if you haven't been reading through the New Testament in 30 days and then coming back and trying to study through it in 90 days, that's okay. You can do it however you want. We are trying this year to go along a pattern of reading through the New Testament in 30 days and then studying through it in 90 days and then going and reading through the Old Testament after that and then studying through the Old Testament after that. But however works best for you is what I want to encourage you to do. And if your pace is different, if you're faster or slower than what we've suggested, then go at the pace that you know will work best for you. But my encouragement to each one of you is to not let another year go by without reading the Word of God and without studying it. If you have any question right now as you are sitting there today, that whether or not you're saved or not, then let me encourage you with this. If you will read through the New Testament and then take your time to study through the New Testament, you will find out what God says about your salvation. And you'll never have to rely on anybody after that. Our Bible classes are excellent, and I love our Bible studies. I hope you take advantage of them, encourage you to take advantage of them if you can, because we get a chance to be able to discuss the Scriptures and get an idea of the Scriptures from other people's perspectives. I know what I think on the Scriptures, and you know what you think on the Scriptures, but isn't it nice to be encouraged by what other people think and to be able to consider that? And so I hope you'll take advantage of that. But let me issue this encouragement. Don't let this year go by without making sure that you're saved. If you do, and you end up before God on Judgment Day, and you're not, what will you say? What could you possibly say? I didn't have time. It wasn't that important to me. So as I continue to encourage on this, please read and study for yourself. And don't let this year go by without making absolutely certain you're saved. And I also want to encourage you on this. As you study through the New Testament, there will be things in our lives, each one of our lives, that we need help with specifically. There are things that you may have questions about. Is this right for me to be doing? Is this something that I need to be doing but I'm not doing? Study that. Each one of us have questions in different areas. Study that. Just go through the chapters one by one, even if it's one chapter a day. You can get through the entire New Testament by studying through the New Testament one chapter a day, and you can pick out whatever area you like, whether it's salvation or whether it's a certain type of a sin that you might want to help somebody else get out of, or whatever it is, whether it's the worship, whether it's study. But 270 days later, you will have studied through every chapter of the New Testament. And you'll have a notebook in front of you with every verse that talks about salvation, or every verse that talks about this particular aspect you may want to acquire: encouragement, joy, peace. Peace is what we're going to talk about this morning. I love this particular subject because it is one that I think that the world, when you distill out everything that they're going for, this is what they want, is peace. A satisfaction of a job well done. A peace in knowing that it's well with your soul. A peace in knowing that your family's doing well. And a peace in knowing that you've done the right thing. You been watching this election? Have you ever seen anything that looks less like a train wreck than this election? It's like a three-ring circus. I don't know that I've ever even thought in my wildest, most depressed dreams that we would ever devolve to this state, where our language is filthy, where there's derision and it's just really sad. But you know what? You can have an absolute peace about what's going to happen by doing this. We've got a primary vote coming up on Tuesday. You can search and find out what each one of these people believe, and then to the best of your ability before God, you can vote for the one that you think that God would be most pleased with. Your conclusion doesn't have to be the same as the guy sitting next to you. It certainly doesn't have to be the same as what I think. But may I encourage you to compare what the different candidates are talking about, especially when we talk about not only the presidential part, but the judges that we're voting for. If you and I could take God into the election booth with us, and as best we can, select those who we are convinced are going to represent God the best, I think you can walk out of that election booth with peace of mind. If you're convinced in your heart that it would be sinful for you to vote, don't vote. You don't have to. But may I just give this thought? Carolyn keeps bringing it up to me. It's one that a guy named David Barton brought up, and he said, if Christians don't select the next leader, those who are pagans will. Who would you rather select the next leader for you? and for our nation. So do your best on this. Whether your conclusion after you look at everything is I just can't vote for any of these people, or whether your conclusion is these are the ones I want to vote for. When I went in and voted early, I went in and I voted for about half of the things that were open, and the other half I left blank because I didn't think there's anybody worth voting for on that. But I beg you, at least if nothing else, that you'll be praying for our nation during this time. Because I think that we are at a tipping point, and I believe that as this election goes, our nation is going to go. But I want to get back to this idea of peace. I picked up the Bible this morning. I try to start off each day with a psalm. I'm in the 128th psalm today. If you have your Bible and would like to turn over there, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. I've been reading the Psalms in that. As a matter of fact, I've got a copy of the King James Version from 1864, and I like this. I think there's only one passage underlined in it, and it's a passage on war. And I've often wondered if somebody from the Civil War had that, and this was what was on their heart, and that was the one they underlined. But I like reading through this particular one. But the 128th Psalm. I prepared a lesson for peace this morning, and then I came across this. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. And then he says this, for thou shalt eat the labor of things of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Now, is there anything that would bring you more peace than that, to walk in the fear of the Lord, to fear God and then to walk in his ways? That's why we keep talking about studying the Word, is because the Word tells us how we're to live, to walk in his ways. And he says, if you will do that, you'll be happy. Are you as happy as you think you'd like to be? I know that's a loaded question. Most of y'all are probably looking at your watches and saying, ask me in 10 minutes. And I understand that. I've heard me speak before, too. But are you happy? Is there a contentment about you with your life? Are you confident that if you died today that you'd be in heaven? Are you confident that if your spouse died today or your children died today that they'd be in heaven? Because if you are, there's got to be a happiness and a peace about you that's just hard to imagine. I keep getting distracted by this baby. I cannot tell you how much I love the joy of babies. There's something about that, isn't there? We have a happiness that we can have in God. If you drop down to verse 6, it says, yes, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. As you go through this passage, you see if you're doing well and if your family is doing well, and if, in this case, he's talking about Jerusalem, about their religion, ours is certainly Christianity, if the church is doing well, and then he talks about Israel, the nation, if that's doing well, you'll have peace. But it starts with you. It starts with you walking in God, fearing God enough to find out what his ways are, and then walking in him. And if you'll do that, everything else will fall into place. This train wreck that we talked about, that'll fall into place. We'll live in good times and bad times in our lives. But if you and I will follow God to the best of our ability, everything else will fall into place, and you'll be happy and you'll have peace. That's what God guarantees us. That's why we're doing this. We're not doing this to be pleasing to somebody else. If your religion has been one long series of pleasing somebody that is somebody other than God, let me encourage you to reconsider what your religion is about. We're here to serve God in Christ and to please them. But if we'll do that, then the blessings that we have are going to be heaped into our lap, and we're going to be happy and we're going to have peace. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over, Isaiah chapter 32 has become one of my favorite verses. Years ago, I started writing things down on little 3x5 index cards. I've got a stack of them that have everything from from sayings from wise men and women to goals that I have in my own life, to things that I want to be praying for, to passages that really that have impacted me and that I want to think about on a daily basis. This is one of them. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. If you'll look at verse 17 and 18, just think about this. If you've got this, how much better could life be? The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Doesn't that sound appealing to you? Carolyn and I love to go, when we go on vacation, to go visit water. We wouldn't want to live anywhere other than the panhandle, but it's really fun to go visit water. And one of the things I like to do is we got to go through the ocean a couple of years ago and really enjoyed that. We like to go to a spot that's right by a stream and enjoy that as well. But there is nothing more peaceful than quiet water. In the article today, I talked about the 23rd Psalm, and the 23rd Psalm is so appealing and has been such a comfort to people for so many years. It starts off by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then after it says, in the second verse it says, "He leadeth me beside quiet waters," or still waters. There's a place called Lost Maples Park that we've visited the last couple of years. And Aaron's shaking his head with a smile on his face because he's been there and he knows. There's a stream that runs through Lost Maples Park, and it's got a limestone bed in it. And that stream, I'm not sure exactly what all it's fed by, but I know we've gone to the side of the stream, and through the limestone we've seen water percolating up. And it's just, apparently there's a spring or something underneath that. And there are parts of that stream that are just absolutely still. You can see you can take a picture in that stream, and you can see a reflection that looks like you're taking a picture of whatever it is the reflection is. It's that still. There's another place called Garner State Park that has a huge open area, and while it's along a river, there's a real still part in there, and it's really calm. I like going there and watching the turtles and the buzzards, oddly enough, too. They'll get me sooner or later. Might as well enjoy them now. But it's really beautiful. Brad's laughing because he's seen me nearly gotten to that point, not by buzzards, but by other things. But the point is that there is something about this still water that just restores the soul. And I think the reason it does that, because it restores the type of peace that God wants you to have. That's what the Word of God is like. There is nothing like opening the Bible to a passage that says something along the lines of, "The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever." That's what God wants us to have. Jesus told us in this world we'll have trouble or pressure. It's not that this world is always just going to be one big fun time or one big peaceful time. We know that there are challenges that we go through. But if you're righteous, you can enjoy this peace and this stillness now, and you look forward to it forever. And you're going to enjoy that not only with God in Christ, which would be enough, would it not? But with every righteous person who's ever walked the face of this planet. Not that we've deserved it, but I have to tell you this, I'm planning on being there. Because God has made the preparations for me, because Jesus took my place on the cross. Got a chance at that type of peace. If I'll only look to His Word, find out what He wants me to do, and to the best of my ability, do it. One last passage, and I'll close. It's found in John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus was just about to die, and He's telling His apostles what's going to happen, and yet He leaves them with this. John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's what God wants for us, is to walk through this life without a troubled heart and without fear, other than for Him. We can do that. We enjoy peace. And we're going to enjoy this life if we'll just live the way He wants us to live. Invitations open this morning. If you're ready to become a Christian, we would love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if we can help in any other way, won't you come while we stand and sing?